Welcome back to the News at Noon. The Richland County Public Safety and Judiciary Standing Committee is set together for a pivotal session next week to address the future of the county's correctional infrastructure. The meeting is scheduled to convene Friday, August 7th at 8:30 a.m. at the Richland County Courthouse. A primary focus of the upcoming agenda involves the potential creation of an ad hoc committee. This proposed group would be tasked with developing formal recommendations regarding the construction of a new jail facility. Officials indicate that the committee may take definitive action on the formation of this advisory body during the session. The discussion marks a significant step in addressing longstanding questions about the county's current facilities and public safety needs. Residents are encouraged to follow the proceedings as the committee evaluates the next steps for this major local project in Richland County. The Richland County Community and Health Services Standing Committee is scheduled to convene Thursday, August 6th at 10:30 a.m. The meeting also takes place in the Richland County Boardroom in the courthouse. The session will feature a comprehensive series of reports, beginning with administrative updates from the Health and Human Services Director. Financial transparency will be a focus as the committee reviews the HHS expenditures report, which details vouchers and expenditures ranging from $2,000 to $10,000. Members will also examine the HHS 2026 budget summary alongside the Richland County 2026 placement report. Looking forward to future fiscal planning. The agenda includes the 2027 Health and Human Services Proposed Budget Summary Report and the 2027 Proposed Placement Budget Summary Report. Furthermore, the committee will hear administrative and financial updates from Pine Valley Community Village and a report on departmental activities from the Child Support Agency Director. Legislative action and discussion will cover several critical departmental processes and funding opportunities. The committee is slated to discuss the process for acquiring providers and bids for contracts and consider the approval of a new member for the Transportation Coordinating Committee. Grant applications are also a priority, with the committee reviewing the application and acceptance of the medication-assisted treatment in a jail setting grant, the state opioid response grant, and the 2027 5310 operating and capital purchase grants. Finally, members will address possible private pay rate increases for the skilled nursing facility and community-based residential facility. Last night in Waukesha at the Meyer Grocery Store on East Sunset Avenue, a 911 call reported an armed hostage situation, leading to a critical encounter with Waukesha law enforcement. At 5:51 p.m., an adult male contacted the City of Waukesha Emergency Communications Center, claiming to be armed with a knife and holding a hostage while demanding to speak with a professional negotiator. Waukesha police officers arrived on the scene immediately, coordinating with a trained crisis negotiator who established initial telephone contact with the suspect. Upon entering the store, officers located the individual and discovered he was indeed armed with a knife and in dangerously close proximity to a 59-year-old male victim. Despite multiple commands for the suspect to drop his weapon, he refused to comply. Faced with an immediate threat to the life of the victim and the safety of responding personnel, one officer discharged their firearm. Following the shooting, officers quickly transitioned to providing life-saving medical care, applying a tourniquet before the suspect was transported to a local hospital where he remains in critical condition. The victim, who sustained non-life-threatening injuries during the ordeal, was also treated at the scene and hospitalized for further care. The weapon involved was recovered at the scene and the incident was captured on body-worn camera footage, though officials have stated the video will not be released yet to protect the integrity of the ongoing investigation. The involved officer, a 5-year veteran of the force, has been placed on administrative leave per standard department policy. As required by Wisconsin law, the Milwaukee Area Investigative Team and the Greenfield Police Department have taken the lead on an independent investigation in the shooting. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation have announced a transformative series of investments totaling $229 million during fiscal year 2026. This significant capital infusion reached 67 of Wisconsin's 72 counties, demonstrating a broad commitment to fostering prosperity across nearly every corner of the state. These strategic investments are designed to bolster the state's economy by addressing critical workforce needs, supporting local entrepreneurs, and expanding Wisconsin's reach in the global marketplace. The primary goals of this fiscal year's strategy focus on the recruitment and retention of talented workers through targeted investments in essential infrastructure such as childcare, affordable housing, and community development. By strengthening these foundations, the state aims to support entrepreneurs and the iconic main streets that define local communities, while simultaneously nurturing rural economies and driving global experts to ensure long-term sustained success for all Wisconsin residents. A major highlight of the year was the historic partnership with Eli Lilly for a $4 billion project in Kenosha County, which is expected to create 750 highly skilled jobs. This effort was supported by more than $132 million in tax credit incentives for various projects statewide. Beyond large-scale industrial growth, WEDC prioritized community-level vitality through programs like Ignite Wisconsin for startups and various rural prosperity initiatives. These include converting former university facilities into housing and supporting grocery cooperatives in rural areas to ensure local needs are met. New federal Medicaid work requirements could affect hundreds of thousands of Wisconsinites enrolled in Badger Care Plus. State Health Services Secretary Kirsten Johnson says about 200,000 members between 19 and 64 could be impacted, with an estimated 63,000 at immediate risk of losing coverage. Under the new federal law, some recipients will need to document at least 80 hours a month of work, education, or volunteer activities to keep benefits. The requirements will take effect January 1st. Former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes is out of the race for Wisconsin governor, dropping the news on social media yesterday. While not specifically referring to State Representative Francesca Hong, Barnes said, quote, "It's become very clear who our nominee is going to be, and that defeating Republican Congressman Tom Tiffany is the goal for Democrats to focus on." Barnes's announcement follows release of a Marquette poll showing him trailing Hong in the Democratic primary, the winner of which will likely face Tiffany in November. The Richland Hospital and Clinics is joining healthcare organizations across the country in recognizing Malnutrition Awareness Week, September 14th through the 18th. This annual initiative, led by the American Society for Parenteral and Enteral Nutrition, or ASPEN, I hope I said those right, aims to raise awareness about the risks of malnutrition and the critical importance of early identification and treatment. At the Richland Hospital and Clinics, the motto, "Our patients above all else," extends to identifying health risks before they escalate. Malnutrition is often overlooked but can significantly hinder healing, recovery, and overall quality of life. By focusing on early identification, the Richland Hospital and Clinic aims to support better health outcomes for its patients and the community. This year's theme, "Nutrition Care is a Team Effort," highlights the collaborative approach taken at TRHC. Physicians, nurses, dietitians, pharmacists, and social workers all work together with patients and families to identify concerns and provide comprehensive care. This team-based strategy ensures that nutritional needs are addressed from multiple perspectives, leading to more successful recovery and long-term wellness. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Revenue have distributed over $2.2 billion in shared revenue and property tax credits to local governments in 2026. This funding, totaling over $1.7 billion in direct relief for property owners and $584 million for local governments, supports essential services like public safety, roads, and libraries. This initiative builds on the 2023 Wisconsin Act 12, which secured an increase in shared revenue and tied local government funding to state sales tax. The distributions empower local communities to address their unique needs while reducing the property tax burden. Additional FEMA support is available for residents affected by the April storms and flooding in 19 designated Wisconsin counties and the Oneida Nation. For those who received initial rental assistance, continued temporary housing support may be available if you are still working toward a permanent housing plan. Eligibility requires demonstrating that previous assistance was used for temporary housing. Confirming your pre-disaster residence remains unsafe or unavailable, proving a lack of financial ability to secure housing without aid, and showing active progress toward a permanent housing solution. If you were initially approved, expect an application to arrive by mail 15 days after grant approval. It is also vital to inspect heating systems, including furnaces and water heaters, for damage from the recent storms. FEMA grants can assist with repairs or replacements for these critical systems. If you previously received a grant for repairs but find that full replacement is necessary, you may use the FEMA appeal process, which requires submitting a letter and a verified contractor's estimate within 60 days. You can submit requests for continued assistance or system repairs through several channels. The fastest method is uploading documents electronically via an account at disasterassistance.gov. Please remember that the deadline to apply for federal assistance is August 31st, even if you have already been visited by a FEMA assessment team or contacted 211. You must formally apply to be considered for aid. You can start the process online at disasterassistance.gov or by calling 800-621-3362. Alion Energy Corporation on Thursday reported second quarter earnings of $170 million. The Madison, Wisconsin-based company said it had a net income of 65 cents per share. The results missed Wall Street expectations. The average estimate of three analysts surveyed by Zacks Investment Research was for earnings of 66 cents per share. The electric and gas utility parent company posted revenue of $970 million in the period. Alliant Energy expects full-year earnings in the range of $3.36 to $3.46 per share. Grant County authorities responded to two separate single-vehicle accidents this week involving local wildlife and resulting in hospitalizations. The first incident occurred Tuesday morning in Woodman Township. Jeffrey McKinney, a 61-year-old resident of Rock Island, Illinois, was traveling northbound on Highway 33 in a 2020 Ford van. Near the intersection with County K, McKinney swerved to avoid a rabbit, which caused the vehicle to veer into a ditch. The van subsequently struck a culvert and crossed the roadway before hitting an embankment, sustaining disabling damage. McKinney was transported by Boscobel EMS to Gunderson Boscobel Area Hospital for treatment of possible injuries and received a citation for failure to maintain control. Just 2 days later, on Thursday, emergency crews were called to Platteville Township for a motorcycle crash involving a deer. Autumn Ryder, 20, of Potosi, was traveling south on Highway 151 on a 2025 Honda CMX 300 when the collision occurred near Major Lane. The impact ejected Ryder from her motorcycle, causing serious but non-life-threatening injuries. She was transported to Southwest Health Center for medical care. Both incidents underscore the unpredictable nature of roadway hazards involving wildlife in the region. The Air in Richland Center is set to hum with a unique blend of history and harmony today from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. as the 1921 AD Lounge will play host to musician Jay Huffman. This isn't just a concert, it's an invitation to step inside a masterpiece of American architecture and lose yourself in a performance that feels as grounded as the red brick walls surrounding it. The venue itself, the historic A.D. German warehouse, stands as a testament to the genius of Frank Lloyd Wright. As the only warehouse ever designed by the legendary architect, its rugged concrete and intricate vintage details provide an atmosphere that is both imposing and intimate. Within this architectural treasure, the 1921 AD Lounge offers a warm, time-worn space where the echoes of the past meet the melodies of the present. Jay Huffman's music draws deeply from the well of Americana. His sound reminds fans of such artists as John Prine and Neil Young. Whether you're an enthusiast of Wright's architectural heritage or a devotee of authentic roots music, the evening promises a cozy, immersive experience where great drinks and better company converge in the heart of Richland Center. Rock and Roll Reunion 2026 will be held in Woodman in the Village Park tomorrow. This annual event has been raising money for different charitable causes since 2010. Over 30 local artists representing a wide range of genres will be performing. In the past, the event has raised money to feed hungry children, for 3 area veterans memorials, for mental health services, treatment of such, and hospice. Local veterans in need, area families dealing with cancer, and in 2025, the money was given to 5 local small schools to help children with autism and other special needs. The money raised at this year's event will go to help local immigrants with such things as food, clothing, health care, and more. The event is a bring your own chair, bring your own beverage event with no cover charge. Money is raised from the sale of event t-shirts, donations, and food sales. Lifetime Achievement Awards are given out to area musicians who have spent their entire lives performing and or working in the music industry. The event begins at 11 a.m. and continues into the evening. Rock and Roll Reunion is always held the first Saturday in August and has found its permanent home in the Woodman Village Park in Woodman, Wisconsin. The humorous slogan now attached to the event is, "It's not Woodstock, it's Woodmanstock." For more information on the event, you can follow their Facebook page, event page, Rock and Roll Reunion 2026. The Wisconsin Natural Resources Board is scheduled to convene for its August meeting Thursday, August 13th. The session will begin at 8:30 a.m. at the Radisson Hotel, River Falls, located at 100 Spring Street. Members of the public who cannot attend in person are encouraged to view the proceedings live on the DNR's YouTube channel. The meeting agenda features a variety of significant items for consideration. Key topics include requests for the board to approve statements of scope for board orders, several board orders. Additionally, the board will review several land acquisitions and donations, including projects for Devil's Lake State Park in Sauk County, the Forest Legacy Easement Program in Vilas County, Governor Noel State Forest in Burnett County, Green Bay West Shores Wildlife Area in Oconto County, and Upper Wolf River Fishery Area in Langlade County. Public participation is a vital component of the process. The deadline to register for public testimony or to submit written comments for the board's consideration is 11 a.m. August 5th. While in-person appearances are welcome, remote testimony via Zoom may also be accepted. For those seeking more information, the complete agenda and details regarding the August 12th NRB tour and guidelines for public participation are all available on the DNR website. The Wisconsin Farmers Union recently marked a historic milestone, bringing together over 100 members and supporters at Camp Kenwood near Chippewa Falls, July 16th, to celebrate the camp's 75th anniversary. This iconic location has served as the heart of WFU's educational program for decades, fostering generations of leaders committed to the principles of cooperation and community. The anniversary served as a poignant tribute to the camp's legacy of leadership development, setting the stage for the organization's annual summer conference the following day. The conference drew a similarly robust crowd of attendees, eager to explore the pivotal issues currently facing rural Wisconsin. Educational workshops provided members with practical tools for membership development, water quality advocacy, and effective communication. As the 2026 elections approach, a significant focus was placed on hosting local candidate town halls, ensuring that the voices of family farmers remain central to the political discourse. Keynote speaker Brian Reisinger, author of Land Rich, Cash Poor, offered a compelling exploration of the unique challenges facing family farms today, while the traditional annual pie contest provided a moment of friendly competition and community bonding. President Darren Von Rudin and Executive Director Danielle Envick both emphasized the importance of collective action during their addresses, reflecting on a year that included advocacy for over 40 bills and the launch of the Immigration Resource Hub. Von Rudin highlighted the organization's unwavering commitment to dairy policy reform and conservation initiatives. Envick reminded members that while every generation faces its own set of trials, the strength of the farmers' union lies in its ability to meet those challenges together. The legendary Man in Black will be channeled in all his glory as Jay Ernest leads the Minneapolis-based Church of Cash for a premier tribute performance at the City Auditorium in Richland Center, scheduled for September 25th at 7 p.m. The event promises to capture the raw prowess and reverberating resonance that made Johnny Cash a global icon. Tickets for this all-ages performance are priced at $25. The band features a powerhouse lineup including Jay Ernest on lead vocals and acoustic guitar, Jonathan Tabeast on drums, Jumpin' Jack Mansk on guitars, and Tony Wirth on bass. Together, they have forged a reputation for excellence since forming in 2009, delivering a performance that is less an imitation and more a deep embodiment of Cash's artistic spirit. Their dedication to the craft is backed by a prolific career that includes four studio albums, such as the inspired 2021 release, Flowers for June. The Church of Cash is no stranger to international acclaim, having toured extensively across the U.S., Belgium, and the Netherlands. Their commitment to authenticity has earned them significant accolades, including the Best Tribute Act 2019 honor from the Midwest Country Music Organization. Furthermore, Jay Ernest and the band were inducted into the Minnesota Music Hall of Fame in 2021, solidifying their status as one of the most respected tribute acts in the world. Fans in Richland Center can expect a night of classic hits delivered with the credibility and passion that only the Church of Cash can provide. The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs has announced a significant investment in the state's veteran community by awarding $550,000 in grants to 14 different nonprofit organizations. This funding initiative is designed to bolster a wide array of essential services that many veterans rely on after their service. By partnering with these dedicated nonprofits, the WDVA is able to extend its reach and ensure that veterans across Wisconsin have access to critical resources that might otherwise be unavailable through government channels alone. A substantial portion of these grants is dedicated to addressing immediate and life-altering needs, such as emergency financial assistance, stable housing, and mental health services. Organizations like the Fox Valley Veterans Council and Rock Valley Community Programs are utilizing these funds to provide direct aid for utilities, food, and transitional housing, ensuring that no veteran is left without a safety net. Simultaneously, groups such as Trinity Equestrian Center and Shield of Sisters are focusing on specialized mental health support, including equine therapy and healing retreats tailored for female survivors of military sexual trauma, emphasizing a holistic approach to wellness. In addition to health and housing, the WDVA is heavily prioritizing the economic empowerment of veterans through the Veteran Entrepreneurship Grant Program. With $300,000 specifically allocated to this area, organizations like Develop America and the Wisconsin Women's Business Initiative Corporation are creating networks and training programs to help veterans launch and grow their own businesses. These initiatives provide access to vital technology, financial mentorship, and seed funding, ultimately helping veteran entrepreneurs translate their military discipline into successful civilian careers and improved employment outcomes.